Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Morton, thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Hanging in. We're talking this morning a little bit about the Cavs, and I referenced your article on Forbes from earlier in the week about Andre Drummond. It's kind of an interesting situation because he's going to be making so much money next year in the last year of his deal. Many scratch their heads as to why a rebuilding team like Cleveland would trade for a guy like Andre Drummond. But where do you see this Cavs situation with Drummond? Where do you see it right now, and what do you think they should do?
Well, I actually think the trade was pretty clever given what they gave up, or rather what they didn't give up. They gave up John Hanson, Brandon Knight, and a second-round draft pick, which really isn't anything. So they won the trade from a talent perspective. And I think getting like a year's worth of testing on Andre Drummond, who is, you know, undoubtedly a very, very talented basketball player, that's always going to be a pretty strong play. Now, the problem arises with the fact that you're looking at having to re-sign him after the 2020-21 season, because what is his contract's demands going to be? Like, what is his line of thought, given that he's going to earn $28.7 million this next season? You know, it seems logical to assume that he wants something in that similar ballpark. And when you have Kevin Love on the roster for at least $90 million locked in, you had Larry Nance at over $30 million locked in over the next few years, you just have to wonder, how much money should the Cavs invest in their front court, especially when most of these guys are what you call one-action players? They don't really have a whole lot going for them. Kevin Love is more of a pick-and-pop guy. Drummond is more of a role guy. Same with Larry Nance. There isn't that one versatile big man right there. So it's just a matter of trying to play it smart and trying to make the numbers make more sense for him moving forward.
What do you think of him, Morton, as a player? And you know, should any team be giving a guy that, you know, with his limited offensive abilities, that kind of cash?
No, I don't think so. I will say this. Andre Drummond is fiercely talented. I mean, you don't walk into 15 rebounds a game and 18 points. You just don't do that. He is really, really good. Had he been playing in the 90s and 80s, we would have been talking about an all-time great player. The thing here is, when he doesn't provide shooting, when he turns the ball over to the extent that he does, when his defense is on and off, and when he's also one of those players who mentally engages only sometimes instead of all the time, you just cannot give up that kind of money, you know, in the same vein that he's earning now, like almost $30 million a year to him. That would just be too much. While Drummond is very, very good, he's just not essential, especially in today's new age NBA, where it's about flexibility, shooting, spacing, movement, and having those gifts. He just doesn't have that. He's a big lumbering center who does well in terms of what he should be doing. It's just not something you should invest that heavily in 2020, 2021.
Morton Jensen with me here on The Fan, talking about his article from Forbes this week about Andre Drummond. And you kind of prefaced a little bit in your piece, a reference to the Chris Fedor piece in Cleveland.com about, you know, the idea that both sides, the Cavs and Drummond, may be looking at an extension and maybe even discussing that. And you were sort of against that. That's Morton. That's pretty simple. Yeah. That's that. Here's the thing. You mentioned it before. He's been to All-Stars, or he's been to All-Star games. He's made the team. But it's sort of a weird spot, because, like you said, you have the rebounding. He's you know, far and away the best rebounder in the league, but my goodness, this game has changed so much in terms of bigs, fours and fives, stepping out and shooting threes. I know he's tried to improve that part of his game, but that's just not what he does. And for a rebuilding team, why would you want to, like you said, fork over that kind of cash for a guy that's not going to score for you?
Yeah, no, they shouldn't. They shouldn't. I think it comes down to the price, right? If Drummond comes in and says, well, I want $10 million a year, that's when you look at it and go, absolutely, because he's definitely worth that. It's more along the lines of, I want 20, I want 25, maybe even $30 million a year. That's when you just have to say no right off the bat and try to let him walk. I think what Cleveland should be doing right now is actually trying to trade him. So Detroit kind of found themselves in an awkward situation when they moved him because they were shopping him at the trade deadline and teams didn't really know whether they had like a half year rental on Drummond because he had this $28.7 million player option. So they didn't know whether they were trading for Drummond on a half year rental or they were getting him for a year and a half. That makes it very difficult to evaluate how much you're willing to give up for a guy. And Detroit just sold a year too late on Drummond, to be perfectly honest. So with Drummond now having 1 year left on his contract and no more, you could make the argument, if you're Cleveland, should we see if there is a market for Drummond right now on the trade market, that is, because we can offer teams one full year of Drummond instead of like a half year rental. Maybe that increases his trade value ever so slightly.
I love the idea. I mean, to me, I just didn't understand why Cleveland would have done that. Now, again, they gave up nothing. I mean, they literally gave up, you know, two bags of balls and a case of Gatorade. That's all they gave up. But again, when you're a rebuilding team, Morton, and you tell me this, why he's never, you know, he at times has been a problem in the locker room. And like, so why would you want to be bringing somebody, you know, I think Andre Drummond's probably at his career now at 27 where he wants to play on a winner, and the Cavs aren't a winner.
Right. I think the reason for the Cavaliers to bring him in was to give, you know, Colin Sexton and Darius Garland a big man to play off of a little bit more, to have someone who could just gobble up a ton of offensive rebounding and maximize the amount of offensive possessions for those guys to develop further. Now, here's the thing. Whenever you have a chance to win a trade, even if you're a rebuilding team or if you're a contender, whenever you have a chance to win a trade on talent alone, you got to do it and you have to figure out, you know, how to solve things later on. Because as long as you win it in the talent department, you have some flexibility moving forward. Here right now, the worst case scenario for the Cavs is that they don't have a trade market for Drummond and you let him walk in the summer of 2021, which, you know, would it be a good thing for him to let him walk for nothing? Well, maybe not, but given what they gave up, they can afford it. But I agree with you. I think given their current state of rebuilding, I don't think it makes sense to bring in an in-prime player like Drummond. It's also why I would be heavily shopping Kevin Love if I were Cleveland, and I think they are. This is a time for change, and maybe having this idea of trying to extend Drummond, maybe it actually provides more security in terms of trading him later on, given, you know, how much he's going to earn. Maybe there's a team out there who says, you know what, we're not willing to trade for for Andre Drummond on a one-year contract, but if you extend him for 2 or 3 years, maybe we're willing to take on that money because we're a contender and we're looking to solidify our center position. So there could be certain angles in play that hasn't really been considered.
There's always been a team that has been linked to Drummond going back to his days in Detroit, and that's Boston. You very astutely put that in your piece, that maybe that's a Danny Ainge and Kobe Altman get on the phone, and Ainge sends Gordon Hayward, who's a shell of himself, over to, you know, it's like salary dump city here. The Cavs get out from underneath a huge contract, and the Celtics get out from underneath a huge contract, and Gordon Hayward. I could see that. Could you?
Yeah, I think there's merit to the idea. It's really a question of whether or not Boston believes in Drummond long term and whether they believe he's a fit alongside Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. You know, I would argue, given that Boston is such a healthy young team in terms of like their on-court talents, you have Jason Tatum, who's going to be an elite scorer. You have Jaylen Brown, who developed into a 20-point scorer. You have Kemba Walker, who's, you know, you can pencil him in for 20 points a game and at least 3 three-pointers. So they have the necessary spacing and the offense that could kind of allow Drummond to be integrated without having to be an 18-point guy. I think there's merit to that idea. The question is, will Andre Drummond accept that role? Will Drummond be the guy who is basically saying, okay, you know what, I'll score off of putbacks and alley-oops, and then I'll just rebound the ball 16, 17 times a game, and I'll dedicate myself to defense. If that's the scenario, that could be a very, very dangerous Boston squad. But it all depends on where Drummond is, you know, in terms of his mentality, given his age.
Matt Derry on the Fan with Morton Jensen from Forbes, talking a little bit about the Cavs and his piece this week. On the website, it was very well done about Andre Drummond. All right, so the Cavs are in the lottery, obviously, and they're not going to the bubble in Orlando. If they got the number one overall pick, and I think the Cavs have had some good lottery luck before, where should they go?
Yeah, that's a great question, because you know there are so many different answers to that question. The 2020 NBA draft class is comparatively weak, there isn't that one guy who stands out. There isn't a Zion. There isn't an Anthony Davis right there. I think most would look at Georgia's Anthony Edwards, because he's an athletic wing, two guard who can do a lot for you. The question about him is his motor. It's a question about defense. A lot of NBA draft experts are basically saying he could be the second come of Andrew Wiggins, you know, a guy who's super hype, but when push comes to shoves, you know, you can't really rely on him. Personally, I think LaMelo Ball is the guy you probably should go with if you have the number one pick, not just if you're Cleveland, but anyone. I understand there are tremendous concerns coming in because he's not a great shooter. Defensively, he could be an utter train wreck, but his floor game and the way that he sees the court and his court vision and his passing, that is one thing that is going to translate more than anything. Like, he could be a guy who just in a 3 years time could be looking at 10, 11 assists per game. He's got that level of court vision. And given the size that he's 6'6", from a point guard perspective, you know, that offers some flexibility. Maybe that size allows him to become a better defender as he ages and as his career progresses. I would probably look at Ball in that sense. But here's the thing. If I'm the team with the number one pick, I would also very, very much be willing to take phone calls and listening to trade offers, because there's a lot of uncertainty here. If a team called me up and offered me a very good young player who's still on his rookie contract, I would definitely listen, because then you get something inside your organization that's proven instead of having to roll the dice on 2020.
Morton, great stuff, man. Appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.